previously on Talk Humboldt.
I've been working as a TA since 2013 when I got out of Pelican Bay SHU. So I got a chance to see clearly how education changed my life, and then men who were ahead of me, I was changing their life. And I said, oh, this stuff works.
This is part two of Talk Humboldt's look at education at Pelican Bay State Prison. In part one, Keith Flamer of College of the Redwoods and Michael Spagna of Cal Poly Humboldt went behind bars to visit classrooms and talk directly with incarcerated students. In the interest of full disclosure, faculty from both colleges are involved with these programs. And the final episode of this mini-series will look at what their job requires of them when teaching in prison. But first, the conversation turns to the big picture. How did we get here? Why educate convicted criminals? Today's guests say that it started with a mind shift that began about 10 years ago. From Pelican Bay State Prison, this is Talk Humboldt.
My name is Mark Taylor, and I'm a coordinator for Cal Poly Humboldt's Project Rebound.
My name is Carrie Rexford. I am the acting principal at Pelican Bay State Prison for Tsunami Adult School.
Keith Flamer, president of College of the Redwoods.
And Michael Spagna, interim president of Cal Poly Humboldt.
Can you talk a little bit about the history of prison education, and how did we get to where we are today?
So first, about the macro level of prison education programs. In 1994, the crime bill passed, which made people who are experiencing incarceration ineligible for Pell Grants. And we went from a couple thousand prison education programs throughout the nation to like less than 20 as a result of that. Those laws have changed, and I believe it was 2014. And then the California Community College system is now in every prison in the state.
Our biggest thing is giving them the skills and the education to reintegrate into society. Today's inmate, tomorrow's neighbor. If you think about it, you have got an individual who, whether by chance or by their upbringing, something failed. It's our job to not just instantly throw them away. Now, if we want to talk history, in the late 1990s to the 2000s, education was thirdly to incarceration.
Can you explain that for us?
Thirdly, meaning incarceration was first, punishment, then came what resources we could utilize with them, basically vocation. We utilized the inmates as workers to create things that could be sold to the public. Thirdly, then became education. It would mainly just get your GED, you're done, you're good. During the late 1990s to the early 2000s, though, Pelican Bay did ramp up in its violence. And a lot of that violence was occurring in the vocation areas. So they ended up closing the vocation programs around 2000, 2001. So if you imagine from 2001 all the way through 2009, all this population had was GED. That occurred till about 2013 when, thank goodness, California came into some money. That year, we added 6 teachers.
The way you're describing it is that education was not a priority. It was, like you said, third on the list and a distant third. But it didn't get to one of the things we were discussing during the tour, which is this transformation of thinking. And I think you're getting to that now. And I will attribute this fully to our provost, Jen Capps, who was once quoted as saying as this program started that it was an attempt to disrupt the cycle of violence. And the vocational skills were not doing that. But this other element seems to be doing some of that. It's getting people to think critically, to think about community, being able to take different perspectives, the value of a humanities kind of notion for education.
Absolutely. When you look at that time period I was discussing where it was lack of community, everyone was individualistic, all by themselves. 2015, frankly, was the shift. Mm. And that was also at the time where the MOU with College of the Redwoods was being developed. And not just, okay, here's the college. It's let's make sure this population can handle the college. Then going from the foundation, not just here you go forward, try it, see if you can do it. But let me give you the skills to succeed. That's where a lot of the mind shift then started. And that's what I do want a lot of people to see. It's not just that, okay, we're just providing you the bare bone basics. It's there's a purpose behind it. We want you to succeed.
You know, thank you for the history. I used to receive a lot of questions on why we're doing it. Like, what's the value of educating prisoners?
When you speak about the efficacy of the program itself, when you look at individuals who have graduated with at least an associate's degree and have reintegrated into society, that recidivism rate, I believe, is less than 3%. And usually it's not for another crime. It's for a violation of their parole or probation. And the state average is around 50%.
Wow.
So you figure if you're going from 50% to less than 3%, that saves taxpayer dollars. It's, right. I think it's approximately $132,000 to keep someone in prison for 1 year. And it's a lot less to educate them.
All the reason to protect the investment.
Yeah. Right. If we want to enhance public safety, we want to employ programs that work. And what we do know works is prison education programs. What we also know that works, which Pelican Bay has done very well, is rehabilitative programs, right? So they have rehabilitative programs on every yard that teaches everything from emotional intelligence to artwork, which helps people work on their critical thinking skills, right? And when you partner that with a prison education program, that's when you see an individual come home and really be able to step into the fullness of their destiny and never harm another person and just go into society successfully. Well,
and if you think about it, it's not just them themselves meeting their destiny. They're taking that critical thinking mindset and branching it out to their family.
Mm. If I could add one thing about that, the 27 students we currently have in the bachelor's program, not a single one of them had a GED when they came to prison or a high school diploma, right? Every single one of them earned their GED in prison. They went on to earn their associate's degree, and now they're in a bachelor's program. There's even a student who told his daughter, I believe, that she was struggling in school and told her, if I enroll in College of the Redwoods, I expect you to graduate. And that's how you break transgenerational cycles, right? Because if the parent's in prison, it's more likely that the kid will be in prison. Unless that parent educates themselves and gives the kid something to aspire to. I believe that's how you enhance public safety for generations, not just for that one individual that's experienced an incarceration, but for that person's entire family.
From Pelican Bay State Prison, this has been part two of Talk Humboldt's look at education inside Pelican Bay. In part three, we grow from the big picture down to the individual level. What teaching behind bars feels like, and how it's affected the prison culture.
So every faculty member who works for the program, we brought them out here first, right? To see, is this an environment that you want to teach in?
To hear more episodes of Talk Humboldt, visit khsu.org.
Produced at Cal Poly Humboldt.